month. And it's Larissa McFarlane from the Bunurong land. Welcome to the Boldness, Larissa.
Thank you, Raf. It's so good to be back here after so long.
Excellent. And Natalie, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks so much for having me, Raf.
Look, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to get straight into it because there's some big things that are actually happening this month. As everybody should be aware, this is the celebration of Disability Pride in July. What is Disability Pride?
I'm going to jump in and say that Disability Pride is so big and complicated that it's really hard to answer in one line. Disability Pride, it's a lot of things. It's about our identity. It's about being proud of who we are. It's about undoing that shame that we inherit from society. All of us, all disabled people, we live in this ableist world and we can't help but take on those negative medical model ideas that disability is a bad thing. So Disability Pride is a way of trying to resist that. And it's also about focusing on the strengths, our strengths and the things that we love to do, because again, the medical model of disability that we're meshed in only focuses on our weaknesses and our inabilities. So yeah, Disability Pride is also about community. It's about getting to meet other disabled people. It's about learning about your history, learning about your culture and our ancestors who have brought us here today. And for me, a big part of Disability Pride is also your ability to stand up and resist ableism, because it's really hard to resist ableism if you don't practice Disability Pride. Natalie, what's your personal feeling of Disability Pride?
You just covered so much of it then. It's definitely about standing up to ableism, like what we've all been brought into in this world, unfortunately, unlearning all of that and trying to be proud of who we are and be coming together and being grateful for those who have come before us and who have paved the way and given us all the rights that we have now, and being able to move forward and continue towards a better future for all of us, and being, really proud of our strengths instead of focusing on that negative medical model of disability, which, really does point out all of those flaws and those negative parts. It makes us feel like we're broken in some way instead of like full human beings. It's like recognizing that we are whole and we're actually worth something and we do matter.
Yeah. I'd like to add to that too, that a big underpinning of Disability Pride and indeed the social model of disability is that disability is a human experience. Like, we're not actually different to any other humans. All humans are going to experience a level of disability in their life, and it's part of being human. It's not this sort of, we're not the special people over there. We're the human people.
Yes, and that's what people did actually grow up. And in relative terms, the disability movement is very young in Australia, only since about the 1970s when we had the huge social changes that were coming through, or attempted social changes. And from an historical perspective, I'd like Larissa to give a little plug to the Disability Pride is Back mural, because that's where I think it disability movement actually did come of age. What was that mural?
Great to know that I think the Disability Pride mural probably played a role in the growth of disability pride awareness in Australia. I first came upon Disability Pride about 10 years ago, and it blew my mind because I had an answer to how to address all the shame and ableism in my life. And a way to understand it, a way to give it a name. In fact, I don't think I even knew the word ableism until 10 years ago. So my way of doing that was like, I need to practice disability pride, because disability pride is a practice. It's something we need to do every day. And there's very few of us who are actually going to attain 100% full-on disability pride, because it comes and goes. It's a real journey, and you learn it and then you might forget it. That's why the practice is important. So I wanted to practice, and I thought, as an artist, as a bit of a street artist, the best way I could do that was to get all my friends together and make a mural about disability pride. It was actually, it took quite a few years because I couldn't find new friends to join me. It took a long time to convince people that this was a good thing to do because disability pride wasn't really understood or known about. Mostly people were a bit afraid, as was I. Yes. So yes, Raf was involved in the first disability pride mural and then the second one, which we did after the first one was destroyed. And oh, can I give a little plug right now? Because just last year, or maybe the year before, time is very wibbly wobbly during COVID times, but I did a new disability pride mural in the city in Royal Lane, just off Bourke Street Mall. And I think that's where I'm going to visit this month because Disability Pride Month is the month where we get to practice our heart out if we so desire. And one of the ways you can practice is to go and visit this mural where you will learn also about some of our ancestors. Raf, would you like me to just tell you a bit about the history of Disability Pride Month?
I think it's a great stepping point that we actually talk about the Disability Pride celebration run by Join Belong and the Disability Resource Centre for a truly joyful celebration of Disability Pride 2024. And the theme is dress up in colour and bedazzle your pride.
Yay. Yes. So DRC is Disability Resources Centre, and that's one of Australia's longest running disability-led advocacy and campaigning groups. And under the umbrella of DRC is the network Belong, which we'll talk a bit about later. But yeah, last year we did our first inaugural Disability Pride event. It was pretty big. It was at the Kensington Town Hall and there was, I don't know, hundreds of people. It was big. It was chaos. It was wonderful. It was colourful. And we're going to do it again this year. It's going to be at the Queen Victoria Women's Centre, which is in Lonsdale Street in the city. Lovely venue, really accessible, an organisation that really has worked hard on accessibility. And, yeah, our event's going to happen on Wednesday, the 31st of July, from 3 till 6. It's an opportunity to, dress up. We're going to have a bedazzle station and then a photo booth so you can celebrate your colourfulness if you want or if you don't. We'll have an open mic. There's going to be also an area where you can bring some of your artworks. And we're being emceed by a fabulous disabled drag performer by the name of Navi. I am so looking forward to that. Navi is such a legend. And
what are the ways that Disability Pride is accessible this year? Because there are ideas around, most people would see the universal symbol is a wheelchair, which is a visible disability most of the time, whereas 90% of disabilities are invisible. Are there going to be Auslang interpreters?
There most certainly will be. We've tried really hard to make this event accessible. I do want to point out that nothing is ever fully accessible for everyone. It's just an impossibility. If you ever see an event saying they're fully accessible, you'll know that they don't know what they're talking about. These are some of the things that we've got. Obviously, the building is wheelchair accessible and there's accessible toilets. We will have Auslan interpreters. We're going to have a low sensory quiet space, which is always so important. And we're also within the main area. We'll also have like this area where you can go and have a lie down. You can sit on the floor. If anyone knows me, that's my favourite place is on the floor. So that's why that's there. But also lots of us just like to have a lie down. We're also aiming for a fragrance-free event. We know that's not a well-known concept in Australia, so we're asking people to avoid wearing perfumes and strong scents so that, you know, people who have multiple chemical sensitivity or other sensory issues can come and be assured, hopefully, that they will be able to stay. We're also going to do some deaf clapping for those with other sensory issues with sound. That's deaf clapping is where you wave your hands instead of physically clap your hands. It's really fun. Yeah, and we're going to have
some... These things from a COVID perspective, masks.
Yes, COVID is a tricky issue. As we all know, living in COVID times, being disabled, and nobody talking about COVID particularly, nobody really acknowledging the toll that it is taking on all of us, whether you are sick or have long COVID or avoiding or immunocompromised or just lost a job, your friends, community, all the rest of it. Sorry, I won't go on. We will have some air purifiers. We are encouraging people to mask. We will be handing out masks and not the just the surgical ones. We're actually will be providing the ones that actually do the job, like the N95s, the P2s. I'm not sure exactly which one we're providing, but they're good ones. We're also asking people to do RAT testing before they come. If you don't have any RAT tests, councils do have them for free. And I do think we should be RAT testing a whole lot more than we are. It is not going to be, I have to say that the event will not be completely 100% masked. There are people who can't mask for lots of reasons. There are deaf people find it really hard to mask because they need to be able to read your face, your lips. English isn't their first language, and people. But we will be encouraging masking as much as we can. So I need to say that because I know that some people can only go out if everyone is masked, and unfortunately, this may not be your place if that is the case. And I'm really sorry. So we are offering online as well, and there'll be some specific online activities happening during the day, so you won't just be like a tag on. Witnessing all the fun. You need to register for the Disability Pride event. Oh, there's going to be food as well, very important. But you need to register. Tickets are probably going to sell out. They're free, but you do need to register. And there you can also register what your food dietary requirements are. And also if you want to do any performance or bring something along to show, you'll need to contact the email that's on the event page on Eventbrite.
Thank you very much, Larissa. It is time for us to play some community announcements, and then we will be talking with Belong. Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 a.m. Now, we need to make sure, we've just been talking with Larissa McFarlane about the Disability Pride event theme, Dress Up in Colour and Bedazzle Your Pride. And that's to make sure that everybody can belong. Tell us about Belong.
Thanks, Raph. Belong is a disability-led collective, which is essentially under the DRC, as it's very important because it is one of the only disability-led collectives, which is really rare. And it's been around for about 2 years now, but it is still evolving and changing as we go forward. And recently we've just opened a new, like, Belong in the West, which is in the western suburbs and meeting face to face when usually we do meet online, which is very accessible for most. And yeah, our values are very much about being very respectful for with one another, listening, which is very, very important to us, being really non-judgmental of one another as well. Yeah, but listening is probably one of the most important things. And making sure that everyone does have their voice heard, and making sure that, yeah, there is always room for everyone to have their own turn, and that we all do have a voice, and that we do feel like we do actually belong in this group. And I know that I definitely do. And it's definitely really amazing. And there's like an induction process where if you want to join, we have a little induction and you learn about like the values and the way that everything runs. And then you can join to any meetings, which we've got a bunch of different groups. And yeah, we focus on advocacy as well in the disability community, which we've done some things, some campaigns as well, which is really
Natalie, amazing. I'm going to jump into this little one here. What it really is, Natalie, let's talk a bit of the jangle stuff. How is your internal weather today?
My internal weather is quite great right now. It's probably sunny. This is really amazing to be on your show, Raph. But this is a question that we all go around and ask each other at the start of every Belong meeting, and everyone gets their own turn to answer how their internal weather is.
And for clarification, I'm going to ask Natalie again, before we go across to you, Larissa. Natalie, what does the term internal weather mean?
Internal weather is like almost like a metaphor for how the weather could be representing how we're feeling on the inside, like our emotions, like cloudy or windy, rainy could mean sad and a bit overwhelmed or something. Sunny could mean happy. It really depends on what the person associates with the type of the weather and their own emotions and that pretty much.
Marissa, what's your internal weather like, please, right
okay,
now?
I was good. My internal weather is, like Natalie, a bit sort of sunny and sparkly because, you know, it's a bit exciting and nerve-wracking to be on radio. So it's pretty good. I do want to say that when we ask people what their internal weather is, but we also do clarify what it is because not all of us are good at the metaphor and some of us need actually concrete, like, how are you feeling today? So it's just a way of sort of checking in so we all get to sort of see where we're all at when we start. And it's useful too because you find out during that internal weather check-in, somebody might actually be going through something really big and heavy in their life right then. And so then it's a sort of it could be a signpost to say to that person, well, would you like to share more about what's going on? And then the rest of us are able to support and listen to what's going on.
This is something which it's Disability Pride Month. I think it should be that little catch phrase. What we all should be saying at the Disability Pride event at UV, just to get our own language and take ownership of it. And then we will all belong. Hey, Natalie, what do you think?
Yeah, that sounds amazing, Raph. I'm definitely in for that.
Good. So we'll do a bit of on-air lobbying about what we would like. Now, with belong, what are some of the types of online events belong does have via Zoom meetings?
Do you want me to answer that? Yeah.
Well, there's Yuck and Pain.
Yeah, so that's my favourite because I run that one. The Pain and Yuck group, that's for people who live with chronic pain and want to talk about the yucky stuff that comes with pain that mostly we're not permitted to talk about. And I found myself self-censoring myself a lot. So that's a group where we practice undoing that censoring sort of behaviour we've learned. We have an LGBTIQA plus specific group. There's a group for people who live with connective tissue disorders like EDS, Marfan's, hypermobility, those sorts of things. We've got a campaigns and advocacy group, so that's much more focusing on what can we do to make the world better. And for example, we focused on transport on and off, and last week there was a rally, that was an ongoing campaign to get trans accessible. We've got a new program called A Medical Alongsiding, and that's sort of recognizing that so many of us have to go to doctor's appointments and we do it alone and we come out and we've just been gaslit and we feel like shit that takes us days to recover. So we're like, well, how can we support each other to maybe you have a preparatory meeting and then a debrief afterwards with some of the belong members, or maybe a belong member can go with you. It's a way of trying to support us through those everyday yucky stuff that we really shouldn't have. It shouldn't be that hard, but it is. There's an art group as well. Sorry. There's an art group.
We are very, very, very quickly running out of time, Natalie and Larissa. So Natalie, very, very quickly, what's the best way for people to get in contact with belong?
You can also go to the Disability Resources Centre website, and we've got a big part of our website is dedicated to belong, and there'll be information there on who to contact to join.
Okay.
Come and join us. We have fun. I mean, it sounds dire, but we actually do have fun too.
Thank you very much for that. Now, the event details for the Disability Pride Celebration in Melbourne are on the 31st of July at 210 Longsdale Street, Melbourne. It's accessible, wheelchair accessible toilets on the ground floor, Auslang interpreters, low sensory quiet space available, cushioned area for lying down, preferably fragrance free. We're going to practice some silent clapping and the preferably mask open mic. It's going to be great. Thank you very much for your time, Larissa, for joining us on The Boldness, and thank you very much to Natalie. You've been great.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you, Bash.
It's time for us to say farewell. We're going to go out with a song. Keep listening to 3CR, 8:55 a.m. A quick call out to Boil Over. Their next production, Heartstrings, is showing at the Bowery Theatre, 33 Princess Street, St. Albans. For tickets, go to www.creativebrimbank.com.au/heartstrings. It's suitable for all ages, wheelchair accessible, seating available, a hearing loop available. This production is being supported by Brimbank City Council's Community Grants Program. Heartstrings is showing on Thursday, the 18th of July at 7 p.m., Friday, the 19th of July at 7 p.m., and Saturday, 20th of July at 2 p.m. Now, unfortunately, I'm the bearer of some absolutely very tragic news for the whole of the disability community. The Boldness received some absolutely tragic news last weekend. The Boldness received some tragic news last weekend. I'm very saddened to announce that, inform listeners that Finn Meir, one of the co-hosts of The Boldness, unfortunately passed away very, very, very suddenly. He was a much-loved community member, co-presenter of The Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 a.m., and an incredible supporter of the disability community. The Boldness has Finn Meir's family and friends very much in their thoughts and offer their condolences to everyone. Finn Meir was a highly esteemed, valued and respected colleague of Rafael Caleb at 3CR 8:55 a.m. We co-hosted The Boldness for 15 years, 2007 until 2022. Finn Meir had a double degree in both journalism and disability studies. Finn used his qualifications to benefit the whole disability community and cultivate The Boldness as a platform in the mainstream media where the disability community has a very strong active voice on disability issues. Finn Meir was a well-known supporter of people with a disability in the arts and much-loved ally of the disability movement, generously contributing his time, money and expertise with many organisations. Finn's journey included working with Channel 31 on No Limits and Grit Media, hosting The Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 a.m, as a media officer with Valid, advocacy, relationships with Cerebral Palsy Alliance, Vimeac, Quippings, Melbourne Bowls Clubs, a supporter of Hawthorn Football Club. Finn was involved with the City of Stonington Access and Inclusion Advisory Committee and disability advocates such as Samantha Connor, among others. And Finn could be found in the audience of performers by people with a disability, such as Eliza Hull, Skitsy Inc., Nicole Smith with her writing, and Para Equestrian, Stella Barton, and many more. Finn Meir often appeared in videos produced by Sarah Barton, the director of Defiant Lives. Finn had a quirky sense of humour, whose positivity and friendliness won him many friends and influences in the community. His contribution to the disability movement will always be remembered in our hearts and in our minds. Rest in peace, Finn Meir. Let's go out with a song from one of his favourite bands. This song is called Born to Rock and Roll by Rudely Interrupted. It's dedicated to the memory of